Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Phase Zero Season 4 Episode 17 starts right now on BD, joined today by Jenna Anderson.
Hey, everybody.
We got Jamie Jurak.
Good morning.
We got Aaron Perrine.
I have escaped from the TVA. I'm back at my location. Let's go.
Aaron Perrine is just one of those, like, it just sounds like a good name for an intro. Like, it just sounds like the fifth player on the Lakers should be Aaron Perrine. Like, you know what I mean? Oh.
But you transported everybody to my childhood bedroom where I would just do that to myself and, like, bounce out. Yeah.
Oh, let's see. There we go. The dreams. And now here we are. We dreamed up a Marvel show, and we've been doing it for 4 years now. So let's keep doing it. A lot to talk about today. First of all, a little housekeeping. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for always listening and watching to everybody who does here on Phase Zero. Logan got pushed to Monday because we did a Deadpool and Wolverine trailer reaction on Monday. Thank you to everybody who joined us, listened to it. Those are always some of our biggest episodes. This was no exception. We did like a live reaction, live kind of how many Easter eggs can we catch in the 20 minutes or so. We caught more since, so we're going to do that today. But Logan, our Road to Deadpool and Wolverine review, has been pushed to the following Monday from today, whatever that date is. I don't even know what year it is anymore. So however many days from now Monday is, join us for Logan. If you already watched it, apologies. You get to watch it again, or you're welcome, because it's a good movie. So Logan is Monday. Today, phase one of the show, we're going to talk about Spider-Man 4 quite a bit because Tom Holland yapped his yap, so we're going to yap ours and see what's going on with Spider-Man 4. Phase two, we're going to dive back into Deadpool and Wolverine because, like I said, we did talk about this in the immediate reaction fashion, but there's a lot more to uncover with this trailer, and it's the only thing everybody's talking about, so we have to keep yapping about it as well. And then in phase three, X-Men 97 Episode 7 is here. Another banger episode for this show, in my opinion, but we'll get to that later. If you haven't watched X-Men 97 today yet, this is your warning. We will be talking spoilers something like 30, 40 minutes from now. So just there's your heads up. All right. How's everybody feeling? We good to go? We good to get started? Anybody want to preemptively? Any first words for today's show? We've never done that before.
Excited, feeling it, thrilled.
Yeah.
Can't wait to take this journey with all of you.
I'm excited to hear what Jamie thinks of the trailer, since she was very much asleep when we recorded our episode on Monday.
I woke up 6 hours after that trailer dropped, Feige. You need to get it together. Come on.
I'm so jealous of you.
Jamie just woke up for the first time since the trailer dropped. all right. So we'll get to that in just a moment. We're going to start with Spider-Man 4. There's a beefy quote here. Jamie, I know how you love reading quotes. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I know how much you love.
I will happily read that quote.
Please, please, give us that sweet, sweet Jamie quote read.
All right. So this is Tom Holland to Deadline, Spider-Man 4 update. He said, "The simple answer is that I'll always want to do Spider-Man films. I owe my life and career to Spider-Man. So the simple answer is, yes, I'll always want to do more. We have the best in the business working toward whatever the story might be. But until we've cracked it, we have a legacy to protect. The third movie was so special and so many ways that we need to make sure we do the right thing. This is the first time in the process that I've been part of the creative so early. It's just a process where I'm watching and learning. It's just a really fun stage for me. Like I said, everyone wants it to happen, but we want to make sure we're not overdoing the same things."
All right. So they're working on it. They're definitely working on it. That's not surprising, but Tom saying it is kind of surprising to me. Because it felt like in the past he was kind of negotiating through the press where he'd be like, "Oh, you know, I don't care if I play Spider-Man again. I liked it. I love that character." And now he's like, "Yeah, we're working on it," which I find to be exciting, personally. Anybody else got thoughts on this quote?
I like that he's creatively involved this time around, especially given the previous conversations we've had on the show about what is this movie going to be? Are there two different versions of this movie being like developed at the same time? One that is big and multiversal and the other that's not. I like knowing that at least like he is involved in those discussions since he is the face of the franchise. It's interesting. We had the whole conversation a month or so ago about whether or not Justin Lin might direct this movie. And then now he just got a new movie. So I feel like that might kind of rule him out as the director, but I like knowing that the movie is still being worked on.
What did Justin Lin just get?
It was some like original thing. I'm totally blanking on the details, but people kind of put two and two together and were like, oh, he might not be directing Spider-Man at some point this year then.
I mean, I feel like I don't think a Spider-Man movie is happening at this point this year. I don't think if like that would start filming. It seems like they don't even have the idea yet. They're slowly working. I think it's funny. I've seen a lot of people tweet about how Tom Holland previously made that comment, like, I shouldn't still be playing Spider-Man at 30. But as Tom Holland approaches 30, I think he realizes that like 30 happens quick and it's not that big of a deal. Like 30 is great, you guys. Being in your 30s is amazing. And once you hit, I think Tom Holland's 27, and he's probably like, oh, that was kind of a weird thing to say. 30's not this mythical thing that's years and years away.
No, it definitely happens. And all of a sudden you're in your 30s wearing a Deadpool hat talking about Marvel movies before you know it. So Justin Lin is doing Stay Course for Amazon, which is a new crime thriller. Also, IMDb 3 days ago. I don't know what this is. Fast and Furious director Justin Lin to take on Bourne 5. I don't see that anywhere else, though, but I don't know. Anyway. It seems Justin Lin is indeed booked and busy outside of Spider-Man, and Bourne 5 is not a movie you just throw together real quick over the course of a month and then move on to Spider-Man. So who knows who's going to direct that thing. Doesn't seem like it's going to be John Watts, though, which, you know, whatever. I think a new vision for Spider-Man is going to be welcome. I think the key components of that is Tom Holland, Zendaya, and Jacob Batalon. Aaron, what are you thinking?
I think they've been working on this, like a lot of this is like telephone through other scooper reports, like making sense, like because the big report from RPK was that him and Feige had one vision for the movie and then Sony had another. The Justin Lin stuff comes from other reports from various sources where they want this thing out as quickly as possible, at least Sony does, because they realize that Spider-Man is a money faucet, as evidenced by this week where right now, Spider-Man 2 is the number 2 movie at the box office, despite being from, like, what, 20-something years ago? I'm hoping that whatever they go with, they are confident in the direction they're going and don't just kind of throw this thing out there just to throw it out there. People show up for Spider-Man no matter what, though, so it's like foolproof. I like to believe he saw the tennis ball stuff happening this last 2 weeks, and he's like, I want that. I want that myself.
Because I was going to say with Zendaya, like, there's all the reports about Euphoria and about how, like, the cast has been released from their contracts for, like, the rest of the year, and they might start filming again at some point later in the year. And, like, the reports were kind of indicating that in that interim, Zendaya would start working on Spider-Man 4. So we'll see if that ends up being the case. We'll see if the new season of Euphoria even happens. But, like, that's a whole curveball, too.
Girl, Euphoria is over. I don't... It's a wrap. We never see them kids again. God bless. It was an interesting ride. I'll say that every single person involved with that has like some other bigger project now. Yeah, I don't see that. Sam's gonna have to figure out some other way.
That's where the quote about being 30 could come in. I mean, they're supposed to be how old on Euphoria? You take 22 years between seasons, and all of a sudden, all right. Well, what do we want to see this movie be about? I am happy to go first, but if anybody has any ideas, please be my guest. I mean, the obvious story, this isn't just me. I'm not special for thinking this, but, you know, following Daredevil Born Again, I think the fallout from that could culminate in Spider-Man 4. I'd like to see Spider-Man 4 be largely in New York and largely just Spider-Man. But if Daredevil shows up, like, also I was thinking, what if they start doing these sort of team-up movies where, like Deadpool and Wolverine, they do Spider-Man and Daredevil? Like, there's been so many comics where you get two characters in the title for just kind of a limited run. And maybe they do something like that. I don't know how Sony would feel or, you know, something like that. But then again, Spider-Man is a character that doesn't need anyone else to help him sell tickets. But if you did, I think Spider-Man and Daredevil gets pretty exciting. But I want to see the Fisk, Mayor Fisk storyline. I want to see the fallout from that. I want to see Peter Parker dealing with that. And I also just want to see the personal ground level effects of Doctor Strange's spell, making people forget Peter Parker, Spider-Man. And I would love to see Black Cat become, you know, like a love triangle type thing where he's like, well, this girl I love doesn't really remember me, but this new girl, well, she's pretty and does cool stuff. So I think that, like, I want to see it in New York and kind of ground level for sure. But I would love to see Mayor Fisk stuff come after that.
I agree with the Black Cat stuff, first and foremost. I'm going to go back to what I said one of the previous times we had this conversation, which is I think it all depends on where this movie fits in relation to the next Avengers movies and what those Avengers mm-hmm. movies even are. Because I think the multiverse track versus the more street level track directly depend on if this movie is before or after or in the middle of Secret Wars and Kang Dynasty or whatever Avengers 5 is ultimately going to be called. So I think that is a huge part of the creative negotiation that they're doing, is trying to figure out, like, can we make a movie that could stand alone and not have the situation they did where Multiverse of Madness and No Way Home kind of got swapped around.
Yeah, I think that that is part of me is like, it is insane to think that we won't get a Spider-Man until after the next Avengers movie. When you look at the dates, which we'll get to in a minute, and it's like, well, where the hell are they going to put this thing if they even start it? Granted, I think Avengers movies are going to keep getting pushed back. But I would really prefer to see Spider-Man in a solo outing before another ensemble outing. Just kind of check in with him and see what he's been up to. Because if he's crammed into a story with an ensemble, what has been happening to Peter Parker kind of goes by the wayside. Unless you have there has been a fantastic balance that Marcus and McFeely have found while writing movies like Civil War and Infinity War and Endgame. Where, you know, you even get check-ins with Wanda and Vision in a movie as big as Infinity War. So I just think Spider-Man he's like, I'm sorry, Jamie, but Spider-Man is like that top of the tier character that would be like a main character at this point. Whereas in Infinity War, Wanda was still very much in that supporting lower tier, you know, like not the A-tier type screen time character. I know Wanda's the best. We love her so much, but
she got her own show after that. I'm not offended.
I'm just scared to say anything that doesn't make Wanda seem like the most important thing in the world.
It's not like you're like, wow, Wanda sucked in Infinity War.
Just speaking truth.
So, like, you go back to Civil War, and that's one of the things I think Marcus and McFeely did so well. Like, they had, like, you could look at it as, like, tiers of arcs for characters. Like, Iron Man and Captain America were at the top of that. And then at the bottom of that was Spider-Man and Black Panther. And along the way, you'd have like Black Widow and Hawkeye, Wanda and Vision, all these other characters along the way who had their own kind of stories they were each telling. And I think that if you're going to have Spider-Man not show up before the next Avengers movie, like, he's going to be at the top of that tier, but also so is Thor. So is Captain Marvel. So is a lot of these other characters are in that. And it's like, how do we do that without checking in with him again? Because I could be fine seeing Thor in Avengers without a Thor 5. I know what he's been doing, and that's fine. Much as I want to see Hercules, but I don't know. I'm yapping. That's what I do here. I want to see Black Cat. I want to see New York.
I think you guys are just gonna get that. I've never had any real problem with it. I mean, in our household, the biggest argument coming out of No Way Home was just like, "Dang, she told him to actually let her help him, let her in," and he went, "No. I know better than you." So as long as you get some resolution for that, because if there's anything we've learned through our lives, why would I trust this 18-year-old boy to make decisions for her? His frontal lobe is not developed all the way yet. Why would you let him do that? So just don't forget about Z. Also, as Jenna and Chris have jokingly said, they're like the first ones of these two, like, to have that kind of weird teenager chemistry while they're still teenagers in these movies. Yeah. So I wouldn't want you to discard that. I know everybody wants to see freaking Sydney Sweeney in latex. I can't imagine why. I can't imagine why that would be the case, but that's what half the audience is after right there. They're after that Artist Alley cheesecake art that is probably kind of creepy. A little bit, just a smidge. You should think about it. I do think you're gonna get some of the Fisk stuff, of course, out of Daredevil. But the funny thing I want to point out, though, that's funny about both of them, there's two things I find really hilarious, is that people want the Multiverse Saga to feel propulsive and to feel like it's building towards something, and that there's this story being weaved. It's not just going to come out of nowhere when you guys get Dr. Doom because you yelled about it on the internet long enough. How do you accomplish that with this street level story? How does that happen? Because it would all have to happen in the background. Does he punch Kingpin so hard that he makes the collider from Spider-Verse, and that's how it links into it? Is that what happens? Or I mean, what?
The thing is, these stories don't have to be propelling the Avengers story. Like, look back at Phase 2, Ant-Man. It just kind of has him fight Falcon, and then all of a sudden in the post-credit scene, it ties it to Civil War, where he immediately shows up again. We've gotten so far away from even the tiniest connective tissue between most of these things, where the biggest exception is probably Yelena. Like, for the most part, nothing is happening. There's Kingo posters in the background of everything, but other than that, Kingo ain't there. So I think a Spider-Man 4 just in New York that could then be like, all right, well, you got your grounded street-level story. Here's Peter swinging from buildings. Maybe Miles shows up from a multiverse or something. This is probably going to be after Beyond the Spider-Verse, which we all realize could possibly go into a live-action version before it's over. I don't know.
It would just strikes me. And the other thing that strikes me really, really funny is that the biggest freaking complaint about this character for like going on 8 years now is that he's not allowed to stay on stealth. And then we have Daredevil in there, and now we just ignore that. Like, okay, now, but when it happens the way I like it, it is not a problem. That seems funny to me as well. I've never had a problem with the Iron Man stuff. I've never had any issue with it. I'm just like, there's a bunch of different Spider-Man versions out there. Some of them are black. Some of them are cyborgs. Some of them are pregnant. Like, you just got to deal. Some of them are emo young ladies. Like, it is what it is. You got to just deal with it. But it is very funny to see the audience be like, we will completely, I pretend I do not see it if it's Daredevil, when there was all this complaining for almost a decade now. It's been a long time. We're getting old, y'all. I don't know.
There's such a pocket of Twitter that hates Iron Man now. Silly people, but that's okay. But there's such a pocket of people online that hate Iron Man. And so I think that made it an easy target for the Spider-Man movies as well, for him to be the part of Homecoming. He was Far From Home had who? It had Nick Fury. Was there a major Avenger in Far
I mean,
From Home?
Spiritually, Iron Man is a huge driving plot of the movie. Like, Mysterio's whole thing in Far From Home doesn't happen without Tony Stark.
That's why it's a good movie.
The funniest part is that all of their problems come from Tony Stark. All of them. It's not just Spider-Man. It's everybody.
Hey, man.
Or Bucky when he's brainwashed.
My guy had an impact, okay? My guy had an impact. You want to change the world, you're going to change the characters in it. Tony Stark, the GOAT.
That's right.
I'm with you, Aaron. I never had a problem with that. Obviously, shocking. I didn't have a problem with Iron Man being in the movie. But I don't care if there's other characters in it. I just want it to be in New York, like a really cool New York story. Whether the other Spider-Mans are there or not, I want to see Peter's pocket of New York. And Avengers Tower, for the love of God.
I would really, really be excited, because since these movies are all weirdly commenting on the Maguire trilogy anyway, if the third act is him standing up and like really doing some heroic Spider-Man-ness and getting his absolute face cracked by Kingpin and whatever forces are there, and instead of it just being random New Yorkers throwing pipes and stuff, you get all those street level heroes, I think that gets a big pop out of the theater. And that gives you a checkbox too of like, here's Daredevil, here's Echo, here's Kamala Khan, because Jersey is 2 feet away right over there. Like, it would be very nice. And Hawkeye too, to be honest, because we don't know where Kate is, in some sort of weird industrial looking building. But yes. Getting pizza with her dog.
I think there's a lot of good outcomes for this movie, a lot of possibilities and directions that can go with it. And most of them seem really satisfying. I just don't know what's taking so long. I'll never understand why Sony doesn't try to push for more Spider-Man movies, but that's a conversation for a previous podcast. All right, so real quick, last thing on the Spider-Man 4 topic here. This is what the release order is. Screw the dates. Let's just talk about the order. Next is Deadpool and Wolverine. It's obviously not coming before any of these next few, which is Deadpool and Wolverine, then Captain America, Brave New World, then Thunderbolts. You get into July of 2025, you have Fantastic Four. November, you have Blade. Or in 2026, Avengers the Kang Dynasty is the only movie announced there. And then May 2027, Secret Wars is the only movie announced there. So from Cap 4, Thunderbolts, Fantastic Four, Blade, Kang Dynasty, Secret Wars, where do we think Spider-Man 4 could be in terms of the release order? Not the date. I know it's probably not coming until at least sometime 2025, probably 2026, really. But it's got to be like after Blade, before Kang Dynasty, right?
That's what I was just about to say. I feel like Spider-Man 4 feels like more of a movie to me, like a real movie, than Blade does at this moment. So like if Blade somehow keeps that release date or is in that release order, then I would see Spider-Man 4 being immediately after it.
I just know they like putting Spider-Man in July, or at least they try to, until No Way Home comes around. And if they put it in July of 26, it's after Kang Dynasty already.
But that, like you said, I think the next two Avengers movies are going to get delayed even further.
I think will be revealed at San Diego. I really think we're getting a shuffle. I think that this order and these dates are not long for this world.
No.
I definitely agree with that. But Spider-Man's not one they ever talk about at San Diego because it's a Sony property. They've never talked about Spider-Man movies at a Marvel Studios panel, at least that I can remember. Like, wasn't Spider-Man not even on the schedule they showed last time they had a San Diego panel?
There was missing slots.
Yeah.
There were question marks.
There was missing slots in like 2025.
Do you mean like for phase four?
Yeah, when they showed phase four, they didn't have No Way Home on there.
But that was in the middle, I think, of the custody battle. Of like they were trying to decide if they were still working on a next Spider-Man movie.
There's no way, because that was 2021. I don't remember. I don't know.
Time is an illusion. I think like there's a lot of things Marvel Studios has never done that they are starting to do. So I feel like nothing is completely out of the realm of possibility. If it is a thing that can help get them back on track and get the goodwill from general audiences and from like diehard fans, then I think they might announce it at Comic-Con just to like keep the momentum rolling.
Mm. Hey, Kevin, let me host that panel. Right, who knows how much the way this industry is going, who knows how much longer any of us have here in it. Give it to me before nothing exists anymore. Oh, man. All right, we got to move on. We're going to take a quick break. We have over 100 people watching on YouTube, 600, almost 700 people watching across platforms. This is a great opportunity to go to YouTube, hit the subscribe button, hit the thumbs up, and make sure you don't miss our Monday show with Logan or next week's Wednesday edition of Phase Zero, which is just like what you're watching now, but it gets more fun week after week. So don't miss it. We'll see you in a moment. Welcome back to Phase Zero. Thank you for joining us for our Spider-Man conversation. Now it's time for some Deadpool and Wolverine. We have a bonus episode. It's an immediate reaction episode, which I think might already be a bit outdated because there has been so many Easter eggs and details and all kinds of reactions and everything that have dropped since we recorded that Monday. We just love doing it immediately, being fresh, being real, catching things in real time, showing you the process. Thank you for listening to it. But one person here hasn't shared their thoughts on the Deadpool and Wolverine trailer on Phase Zero yet. Jamie Jurek. What did you think?
Oh, goodness. Well, once I watched it, 6 hours after it dropped, very pleased. I was of the camp where I didn't need to see another trailer. You know, I think that we got enough from the original, but I understand that they have to keep releasing them. Obviously, some people don't want to talk spoilers, so spoiler warning, because we're talking everything that's in this trailer, just so you know, in case you're listening and don't want to hear it. Obviously, as the number one X2 fan, I was very excited about the Lady Deathstrike. That made me really happy. I really do think that they are showing some of these like obscure people because they're saving the juice. So, that's cool. I think it's interesting what we learned about this Wolverine, and I'm excited to see more.
Yeah, I feel like they're putting on a masterclass in marketing with this movie. Granted, it's almost like the Spider-Man No Way Home strategy of letting a few things leak but saving some of the big cameos that a lot of us know are coming but acting like they're not, which is cool. Like Spider-Man showed us Doc Ock, showed us Lizard, you know, showed us Sandman. This is show. Granted, I would argue those are bigger characters than Azazel and Lady Deathstrike. But that said, we have not seen the Elektras of the movie who we believe is going to be there. We have not seen the Jean Greys who may or may not be showing up. We have a quote about that to talk about in just a minute. You know, the many X-Men characters who are extremely popular have all been kept a secret, not to mention the possibility of Avengers characters possibly showing up in this movie, which I am absolutely not ruling out. And in fact, I would say I'm leaning into the belief that they are going to be in this movie. At least a couple of MCU characters. And I'm not just talking Mobius, who I really want to see. I'm talking like major players from Avengers movies. I think there's a chance they show up. And actually, given that last comment on YouTube by Gold Searcher, Jenna, can you remind the people what the last word of Taylor Swift's new double album was?
I was wondering if we were going to bring this up today because I have thoughts. I wrote an 1,000 word think piece on comicbook.com. I made a YouTube short about it. I appreciate people's clowning. I like that people are clowning because the last line of the standard edition of her new album is the word dazzling, and the word dazzling appears multiple times throughout the song. But I also think people are really missing the point of what the song actually is. And it's kind of talking about like the different boxes that she and other women who are like the it girl of the industry have been put in their career. And so I almost think when she has been fan cast as Dazzler since X-Men Apocalypse, she might even be acknowledging that without confirming, oh, I'm in it. So I love that everyone's clowning, but please don't take it as an actual confirmation that like she is saying she's Dazzler.
So Jenna knows Taylor Swift is confirmed for Deadpool and Wolverine. You heard it here first.
I am just setting people's expectations reasonably, and I'm also just trying to help because there have been some interesting reads of her new album that people don't understand what words mean. And so I am just like letting people know there are multiple ways to interpret that lyric of that song.
Not the internet not understanding what words mean.
You would be shocked at the literary comprehension that I have seen in the past 5 or 6 days.
Wow. Love this place called online. Jeffrey Lee Electra and Nick Fury are going to do a Capital One commercial. Man, imagine if Wade ends up like seeing them at the same time and like makes a joke. Like, you know, I could see that being the sort of thing Ryan Reynolds jokes about in a movie like this. All right. Easter eggs, theories, discussion. One thing I want to talk about immediately from this trailer, because you know me, Iron Man, baby. There is a very blatant reference to Iron Man in this trailer. Let me find it here. I'm scrubbing through. I have no idea at what point in the trailer this happens. The hot rod car. I guess I'll just play it and pause it if it comes up. There's a hot rod car that's very clearly, very most similarly designed to Red Skull's car in Captain America: The First Avenger, but repainted with almost the exact paint job of the hot rod in Tony Stark's garage when he looks at the cars to pick the colors of his Iron Man suit. And not only that, it has an Iron Man emblem, like where the Hydra logo was on the when this was. The Red Skull's car. Now, if you can't picture that, if you don't remember that, Mike, imagine the little stand-up Mercedes-Benz logo on a, you know, an old school or, you know, fancy Benz. Like, that is now an Iron Man helmet logo. So Robert Downey Jr. is definitely in the movie alongside Taylor Swift. They will share the screen. Now, I think that's interesting. I mean, what I don't really know what to talk about with that, but there's clearly an Iron Man logo there, which for me is the first thing I wanted to talk about. I don't know how to take that. I'm obviously not gonna get my hopes up. Tom Cruise could be there, you know, that's obviously what's gonna happen too. But yeah, so
theorize that it's like somehow Howard Stark related, maybe, since like he was around in the same era. This might be some sort of like alternate universe or whatever. But yeah, that is the like one of the few Easter eggs where I'm like, I don't know what to really make of this.
I'm telling you right now, if there is a new appearance by Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man in this movie, I will literally just poop myself right there. I'm sorry. And I was going to use an expletive, but like the thing that happens when Jamie gets excited in a movie and Aaron gets all bruised up, like I will do a backflip. I will do a moonsault onto the person in front of me. If this movie, I think, looks fantastic, but I'm telling you right now, if there's even so much as Deadpool being like, oh, no, you're not ready to come back yet, and then just Robert Downey Jr. sitting there from another universe, like, who the hell's this guy? Like, I'm sure he'd make some kind of joke about Wade's face or something, depending what era of Iron Man we got. Like, the early 2008, 2012 version would probably make a quip about it. 2019 might be a little more understanding, but yeah. Give me Iron Man. I will die right there. Kill me. X-Men characters that showed up. We had Azazel, Lady Deathstrike, Toad, Pyro, Cassandra Nova. Not an X-Man, but a mutant for sure. Any other X-Men characters that we saw in this trailer that I'm forgetting?
I think you covered the big ones, but like we were saying earlier, I think those are the right cameos to throw into the marketing, because even then, watching the trailer for the first time, I barely noticed most of them. So it's like, this is the kind of thing that you can tease for diehard fans and they can maybe recognize it once they play this back at like half speed, but like general audiences don't even know.
Yeah. This shot right here is so Mad Max. It's crazy.
I mean, literally, it's clearly what they're going for. And like,
yeah.
I mean, there's the guitar guy, like, right. Yeah. That's clearly what's happening.
Tom Hardy's Venom is also confirmed now as the Mad Max variant. This is very clearly a Mad Max inspired moment here in some sort of void. I find this void interesting because it's very like desert looking, sometimes kind of white ground, brown ground, like not very kind of lushy greenish like it was in Loki, which I find interesting. And obviously this TVA is a bit different. So I'm kind of like, well, is this just a disconnect between a movie being made while a TV show is being made, or is this intentional? Hopefully that's something that's addressed. If this is even the same void from Loki. Jenna, do you think this is the same place?
I feel like, because we talk on the show a lot about like the universes versus the timelines versus whatever, I think it would be kind of confusing if there is more than one void, but I do think this might be like a corner of the void that like we did not see in Loki at all.
I could see Deadpool just being like, go ahead.
I was gonna say it's a void. It could have different areas, looking areas. A void, I bet, is a pretty big place. So, you know,
and it could be Battleworld, which has loads of different areas.
Yeah.
Jenna's idea about Cassandra Nova being the person like the boss of that section of Battleworld is really, really cool. I don't know if they're ready to introduce that to the audience yet, of like, here's all these factions and they rule over different parts of it. Each one's themed. Oh, look, we're in weird Fox X-Men land. And there are other sections, but we'll talk about those later. And he literally pulls the camera away. I don't know if people are ready for that, but that would be dope.
Yeah, I really have a feeling this movie, I mean, I have plenty of reason to believe too, that this movie is going to do more for the multiverse saga and setting up like the coming events of what's going on with the multiverse than we've originally expected. Like, this is not just going to be Deadpool with a bunch of X-Men characters. I really do think this moves the needle forward, or whatever the phrase is, for this story, and really is going to kind of paint the picture of what's going on in bigger ways. I think like this is going to be an entertaining as hell movie, I think, but I also think as an MCU fan, you're going to be like, holy hell, they're really going somewhere with this. And I don't know where that is, but that's just what I believe is going to be happening here. Also, this shot of Wolverine on the ground in the, wherever this is, while Paradox is describing him as the failed Wolverine variant. I'm willing to wager, hold on, not this one. Wait for it. Paradox got punched. This one. He's going to have been like shot in the head right there or something, just like in, was it, it's X2, right? When he falls on, is it 3 or 2? It's 2, right? And when he falls on the ground outside the house, like that Wolverine looks dead. And I think we're going to see in the movie, there's going to be like a bullet added in and it's going to get pushed out and he's going to come back to life. That's what I think. But you know me, the tinfoil hat is worn real tightly. I'm speaking of hat, I got the Deadpool hat today. I'm wearing this Deadpool watch for the rest of my life until this movie comes out. Like, I'm Deadpooled up from the ground up.
I like the qualifier of for the rest of your life until the movie comes out.
Nice. Yeah, we got 3 months. We got 3 months till this movie comes out. Liefeld's Just Feet store. Obviously, great joke about Deadpool creator Rob Liefeld and his for lack of a better description, inability to draw feet. Sorry, Rob, friend of the show. We love you, but your feet. Man, the joke I was just going to make was such a Deadpool joke. I just can't. But they wouldn't make much money. Logan says at one point, sorry, kid, I'm no hero. I don't think he's calling Wade kid.
Or is he?
He could be.
He's much older than Wade. He's definitely a lot older than
Wade. He's older than everybody.
But for the sake of he's not, Could they be talking to X-23?
Maybe.
In this universe, he's Pedro Pascal. He always gets paired with a small child that he has protected. That's what I think Brandon's onto something, though. I think Brandon's onto something there. Like, there's so many young X-Men that just tag along with him.
I'm just saying. There's a lot of young X-Men that look up to Logan. I don't think he's talking to Wade in that sequence. It's also, when he says it, it's like a sequence that doesn't match most other shots in the movie. Or in the trailer, anyway. So it's clearly some other scene that has not been shown much. Maybe it's a whole bunch of X-Men. Maybe it's
Ty I like Sheridan. James is in the chat saying it's Ned after Ned summoned the portal since he does magic now.
No, that's one thing I don't want is Ned to open that damn portal. Bro, no. I'm not here. Ned being magic that easily pissed me off, and I'm not for it. Go, Ned, be magic, but you learn too quick. It took Doctor Strange forever to open a portal. Tobey Maguire fight. Now, this is one that has gone viral online. The I don't know where it is in the trailer. I'm not even going to try to find it. But there's clearly a fight, a moment where Wolverine throws a right punch, left punch, like a European uppercut, and then swipes with the left, and Deadpool dodges. And it's the exact like same sequence as Flash Thompson trying to fight Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man in the first Spider-Man movie while he's Peter Parker in the hallway. Accident or intentional?
That's intentional. You don't perfectly time that fight and like have it not be on purpose, which those types of Easter eggs are the things that excite me the most about this movie, are like the things that we will realize way, way after the fact and that are just like homaging without being obvious. Like that stuff's what excites me.
I'm not convinced that was on purpose because it's not that extreme or in depth of a move in terms of like fight choreography. I could be wrong because it is really close. I watched the side by side, but my first thought was like I don't think that was intentional. But I hope I'm wrong. It is a cool nod if so.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm kind of with Jamie on this one because I think it's like very basic fight choreography. I could see it going either way. But from now on, you know Sean Levy's going to be on the press tour going, yeah, we did that on purpose. 100%. We will never know the truth. But I'm a skeptic. Okay, let's talk about that portal. Obviously, we first go, oh, Doctor Strange opened it. Oh, maybe Wong opened it. Maybe they're going to the battle from Avengers Endgame. What if Forge opened it? Because we saw the new powers that Forge was using as you know, the mystic arts powers were a bit more in line with X-Men in X-Men 97 with the MCU look of them. I know maybe it's a crazy, ridiculous idea, but I'm just saying, I'm just trying to come up with new ideas here. Anybody? Who do you think opened that portal?
The chat is also bringing up Madison. So like, I think your Forge is not even the craziest option. So
Madison didn't open that damn portal,
but she might be there with Wong. I don't know. If Ned can learn magic.
Yeah, there it is.
There is a Madison somewhere in the multiverse that is a sorcerer gauntlet. Supreme.
Absolutely. 1,000%.
Not where you think. All right. Anything else from this trailer you guys want to talk about?
I'm trying to think about if there's anything else besides the giant Ant-Man head. And also, we still don't know what those freaking weird monoliths are with Logan. No one knows. Nobody knows.
I watched New Rockstars Breakdown. They said the same thing I did on Monday, where it reminded the Eric Voss said, this reminds me of the smoke monster from Lost, where there's those pillars that the smoke monster can't cross through. And I was like, oh, maybe Eliath can't cross these pillars. I don't think that's what it is. I liked your idea of tombs. But I was like, man, it does. You got a big old smoke monster, and that's a chonky, hungry boy. And maybe these pillars are keeping him out. But no, I don't think that those are related to Eliath. I don't think that's even in the void, personally. So, yeah, we'll see. But Eliath, for those who, I don't know, if you somehow are watching Phase Zero and don't know, is the smoke monster from the void seen in Loki, who was possibly last seen showing up to eat Renslayer in the Loki Season 2 finale. Not seen. There were some little purple flashes showing up on Renslayer in the void. But also we thought maybe that's Kang. So who knows? All right. Last thing about Deadpool and Wolverine. Chris Killian asked Famke Janssen at the Boy Kills World Junket, are you coming back as Jean Grey? doing his duties as a, you know, comicbook.com employee who has to ask about these things at every junket, at every turn we get. And Fabka Jansen said, I don't know. I mean, I didn't expect to come back after dying as Jean Grey. I came back as Phoenix in 2006's X-Men The Last Stand. And I came back in flashback scenes in The Wolverine. And then in Days of Future Past. And then went on to say, I don't know. I doubt it. But you never know. If any X-Men character made sense to come back, Jamie, what were you going to say?
Didn't somebody else ask her this question like she has before, and she was like, no, I'm not in that. And then probably someone was like, don't say no. And now she's changing her tune. So
I wrote up that initial quote and she was like gaslighting herself. She was like, maybe I am in Deadpool 3 and I just don't know or whatever. So like, I do think maybe someone told her and maybe she now knows that she's probably not. But like Jamie said, she might just not be saying it because she knows that kind of kills the momentum of the interview a little bit.
Yeah.
Only problem is it's not a Wolverine movie unless he moons over for exactly 35 seconds. So movie invalid. Sorry. 2 out of 10. It's a shame.
Oh, man. I would like to see her back. I think that would be cool. But again, I think this movie is super stuffed. So I'm going to be happy with what we get. I'm pretty sure I'm going to like this movie very much. I don't know. I got a feeling. All right. We have almost 900 people watching live. Very cool. Thanks for joining us. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. If you're not watching on YouTube, go to YouTube and hit the subscribe button. We appreciate it. If you're listening on podcast forums, wherever you are, at the gym, in traffic, at work, sorry to your boss, but we make your day better. We appreciate the opportunity to do so. Hit the subscribe button on YouTube because we have interviews and podcasts and live shows and all kinds of stuff coming up in video form. Actually, I'll keep it amazing. We'll talk about that later. So we're going to take 1 minute break. We come back. It's time to talk about X-Men 97 episode 7. See you in a minute. Welcome back to Phase Zero. Hope you enjoyed our music during the break. If you're watching live, you get to hear it. If you're listening in podcast form, well, we're sorry. It's I think it's delightful. I want to welcome London back to the chat, who was muting us for the Deadpool Wolverine spoiler section, not spoiler, but trailer breakdown of the show. One comment about Deadpool Wolverine. This isn't going to spoil anything. It's just a hilarious comment I saw. Hugh from Patrick King. Hugh has to lay in bed holding a picture of Famke. If anybody was going to make that happen,
yeah,
it's Ryan Reynolds, it's Sean Levy, it's Hugh Jackman in this movie. If the idea of him laying in bed just looking at imagine getting that in live action. If we're ever gonna get it, it's gonna happen in this movie, and it's never gonna happen again.
Now I will be disappointed if that doesn't happen.
That needs to at least be in the promo material, like the marketing material. I wouldn't be shocked if they make a version of that if it's not in the movie. And if it isn't, and they didn't have that idea, now you do. So please, Ryan, you market.
If they do that in the promos, it's going to be a picture of Ryan Reynolds.
It's
going to be a picture of Aviation Gin. But whatever, we can Photoshop Famke Janssen into it. It's fine. All right, X-Men 97, spoilers for episode 7, start now. Reactions all around. Jamie, you're at the top of the screen. What did you think of this episode?
Oh, another great one. Emotional, exciting, surprises. Poor Rogue, my girl struggling. But, you know, we knew Cap was coming, which was kind of a bummer, I think. It would have been a nice surprise. But it was nice to see him after his appearance in season 5 of the original show. And, yeah, good business all around. The show doesn't miss.
Aaron?
Man, Bright Eyes, dear God, Connor, you'll pay for your crimes. It was really, really good. I am still really amazed at the sheer insane pace that the show moves at. Jake can say all he wants that this has the, you know, DNA of the original show. It feels so much faster. It just does. I don't know. Maybe it's your brain playing tricks on you or whatever, but we are just flying through stuff. There's so much weird Marvel Universe stuff that would be harder to achieve in live action that they're just able to do because you don't have the constraints. I greatly looking forward to whatever the finale holds. A lot of deep cut references. I'm sad for anybody who thought we were getting Cassandra Nova. That stings for half the internet right there. But very, very solid all the way around. I'm like, man, this is wild. Also, you're right, John Brown. Where do they keep getting the songs? Though this thing has such a high budget, it must. Half the budget just went to like paying Apple Music and Spotify and Universal Music Group money. But yeah, enjoying myself.
Horn. I don't think I can say more words without getting taken down. Jenna, what do you think?
I agree with everything I already said. I think this was a great episode. I'm astonished at how much they can accomplish in 35 minutes of television. I think mm-hmm. that like, even as this is ostensibly like a filler episode and an interlude to what we're going to get in like the 3-part finale, I still think like there are so many great moments. There's so much great plot stuff. And like was said, you can't do a lot of this stuff in live action, and it's still cool to get to see it in animation.
Yeah. I think this episode is really good too. I'm noticing a trend here where they set us up with like the first 15, 20 minutes of these episodes where they're like, okay, well, there was the one, you know, action beat with Rogue basically attacking Ross's fortress. But there was a lot of like, here's the fallout of the episode 5 stuff that we cut away from last week. And then all of a sudden, boom, the last 7 minutes are like, here's chaos. And I'm like, sweet. We love the chaos in this show. Trask becoming a demonic super sentinel. Yo, that was crazy. So overall, really, I thought it was a good episode. Nice to have. I think I always get excited when I see Marvel Universe expansion and tie and all that stuff. So Captain America's cool. Ross was cool. But Rogue being kind of the heart of this episode and her having that pivotal moment where she's just, this is who she is now because she is out for revenge. It has broken her to the point of like, well, basically Xavier's teachings ain't working right now because it like Magneto's winning. So, and a lot of X-Men are coming around to that idea. Even Beast is. So, to an extent at least. So I really like where this is going. This feels like the end of the second act of the show, basically, of this season. And now we are into the third act, which is this 3-part finale, which is titled Tolerance is Extinction, which I really think just shows where Rogue is at, where Beast is at, where a lot of these characters are at after the events of Genosha where, hey, we tried to play nice. Maybe Magneto was right. So it's going to be really interesting, I think, going forward. Gambit. That man's really dead.
In theory.
They buried him.
That has never stopped X-Men in the comics before. There will be a way to bring him back.
I think he's dead, but that doesn't mean we're not going to see him again. There's a zillion ways he could be brought back. It's like, this is what I've been saying. I said for sure, I was like, Magneto's not dead. Gambit is dead. But either way, we could be seeing, that doesn't mean anything. But I definitely think that in this moment in time, that Gambit is in the ground.
Over the weekend, I don't know, a few days ago, I don't even know what day it was. A few days ago, I hosted an Emmy FYC panel with a lot of the filmmakers from What If, I did that with What If as well. That was a couple weeks before that. X-Men 97. And Brad Winterbaum was on it. And I asked, I was like, whose decision was it to kill Gambit? And Brad Winterbaum was like, well, we were figuring out it was always going to be someone, but it was my idea to kill Gambit. And then he started talking about Gambit in the past tense. And I was like, Brad, what the hell are you saying here? Because it was a very authentic talking about him in the past tense. And he kind of convinced me a bit there on that panel. A Gambit might be cooked at least for a long while, which really deeply hurts my heart. That man, damn, I love Gambit. But yeah, this opened with a funeral. I just think about like the character designs. Like the team had to go to work and design funeral apparel for all the X-Men. You know, Jubilee still had her very colorful earrings in, but that was about as much color as there was in that opening. Damn. WHIH News was in the episode. I think that it's been on X-Men 97 before, but that is the same WHIH that has been in the MCU in live action. Christine Everhart has reported for them. A little Easter egg there. Gyrick was moved to Mexico City, we find out early in the episode, which sent my brain immediately to that Captain America 4 footage, which definitely I'm the only one here who saw. But if anybody else had seen it or, you know, read descriptions, they would think about, you know, oh, Mexico City. Am I the only one who makes those connections? Because I know, obviously, Cap 4 is not set in the same universe as X-Men 97. It's also like 25 years later. But I was like,
a ding went off. Like, oh, that's an important place for some reason. I do think it's a coincidence, though. But yeah.
Where was the opening scene of Far From Home?
I don't know.
Jeez. I thought it was a European nation. Look at us.
Ixtenco. I don't know how to pronounce it. Ixtenco. Ixtenco is Mexico. So Mexico has come up a few times in Marvel properties, in the Marvel Studios properties, but no, clearly all seemingly not very related. Emma Frost was saved. I have a feeling maybe she saw some stuff. Maybe that'll come be a factor later.
I need to bring up that scene because Scott crying when it was Emma and not Madeline did make me laugh, because if anybody knows the comics, Emma becomes his love interest very soon afterwards. So like, he's so sad that his one love interest died, but like this other one's still here. You're going to be fine, buddy.
Emma Frost oftentimes is kind of a walking love interest for a lot of characters. Like I think, but that's also just kind of X-Men in general. They're all in love with each other. But yeah, that moment where I also thought it was really clever that he picked up his glasses or like mm-hmm. whatever you the you call those, and the tear came out. I'm curious if she's gonna have seen some stuff, and that's gonna be a factor later. I don't know, maybe not, but thought that was interesting. The part where Jean saw the visions of what happened through the rats was crazy.
Yeah,
all the rats' eyes, and I'm like, is that gonna be something we could use later too? Trask brings the X-Men to Madripoor. Okay, wait, let's talk about Roberta DaCosta scene. His mom had me in the first half, not gonna lie. I was like, oh, okay, she's chill. Psych.
I thought that scene was really well done, because I think taking the age-old metaphor that the X-Men have been for kind of the queer experience, I think Roberto's mm-hmm. arc, especially in this episode, and kind of then the way that his mom accepts it but doesn't want to do so publicly, did feel very familiar in that regard. So I think that they nailed it there, and it was kind of meant to make you feel uncomfortable with her.
Mm-hmm. I was like, hold on a second. This is great. This is going really well. And then she was like, well, we got to keep it a secret, though. It's like, damn, okay.
I don't trust a lot of women that drink wine that fast. That woman sees some stuff, man. She drained that glass. I was like, oh my gosh. Okay.
She threw that back.
I mean, yeah. God, what's next? What's the next course? It was good. Yeah, I think Bo, like, and the writers really lulled you into a false insecurity, like, oh, it's not going to be like Bobby and them's parents. And then it totally is.
Yeah.
And in some ways is worse.
Yeah.
Just a different version of the same thing, where it's like this, it makes it, you know, this is why mutants have a hard time essentially coming out to the parents about it. I really think this show, and also like just the earlier stuff where like it's just the parallels to our world. If you don't think the X-Men are a commentary on our world, shut the fuck up. Because like there is the obvious moments where Beast is talking to that reporter earlier in the episode and talking about like the riots, and she's just disagreeing. He's like, this is what happens when you oppress people, we have to speak up. And it's just like the very obvious metaphors from the UN being stormed earlier in the season to now. Like, it's just so obviously a commentary on even more specific recent events than have happened back when this show was the original animated series. People who are like, no, there's not. I don't know. We don't need to go into that. But it's just so obviously a commentary on our world through mutants. Bastion killed Gyrick. R.I.P. Gyrick. You made it this long.
He needed a pillow. That's crazy. He did with his bare hands.
Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Go to sleep.
Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Go to sleep.
Yeah, that's just honestly, I think that's good to set up the ruthlessness mm-hmm. of Bastion, just showing like, yeah, I will literally kill you with my bare hands. Jenna, do you want to be the one to give a bit of Bastion is the one behind the curtain here. Bastion is the one pulling the strings. It's really emphasized in this episode. Do you want to give the crash course on Bastion from
sure? I was kind of brushing myself up on some of it this morning too, because he's a human sentinel hybrid essentially, and the simple mm-hmm. version of it is that he is part of Nimrod, which is like a super duper advanced sentinel. And at one point the X-Men were fighting Nimrod, and they were like, he is way too powerful to deal with by himself. And so they put him through a portal that would like start his life anew as a human. And so Bastion is who walked out of it. And at the time his memory was wiped, he had no idea that he hated the X-Men, that he had powers, any of it. And then over time, he just started disliking the mutants and then became a villain. And so, because people in the chat are asking, he runs Operation Zero Tolerance. So that's what OZT means. And that's why they don't really say it in the episode, but that's what it stands for.
They don't say it. I assume they're going to say it at some point because everybody's still asking, what does OZT mean? Operation Zero Tolerance. But yeah, Bastion is basically even kind of working as Sinister's boss, basically puppeteering this whole thing. So I think that Bastion's story is not going to end this season. I don't think that this Tolerance's extinction arc is going to end the Bastion story. I think it's going to send us into the Messiah comic, which I actually just ordered on Amazon to read front to back instead of having to do like the crash course notes on it. But yeah, I mean, they keep showing Nimrod in the opening credits too.
Yeah.
So I think that this is just something that's going to keep going. And also, Bastion is voiced by Theo James. This is the character that people have been like, who's Theo James going to voice? This big, very evil villain is who Theo James is voicing. Rogue dropping Trask, I thought, was one of the best moments of the show so far. I was like, it was the first time I felt like dialogue was a little on the nose because they were like, is this who we are now? And it's just like, okay, well, we all had the thought, but you said it out loud. Okay. But, I fully understand what Rogue did there. I'm not saying I wouldn't have done the same thing, or I would have, but I would have done the same thing if I was Rogue. I'm saying it. I would have done the same damn thing. Rogue is pissed and Trask has been the problem, but it kind of set off a bit more problems. Do you guys agree with Rogue dropping Trask and being like, screw you, man, die?
I would never have imagined Brandon Davis being pro Yeet. Jesus.
Yeet. It's just the Lion King, but just like so much darker, basically.
Long live the mutants.
I want to hear what Jamie's thoughts are, being like the number one Rogue stan on this panel. I want to hear your thoughts.
I mean, I like a little drama. I'm not somebody who, sometimes my girls kill people, you know? Like, they wouldn't be my girls if they didn't drop the occasional bad guy on their head, you know? Whoops.
Oopsie.
Good for her.
I like my girls do a little killing on a t-shirt for Jamie.
Yeah.
That's real. Some real stuff.
There's a few quotes we could put on Phase Zero t-shirts. Paramount merchandising, do something. I think we would have some fun putting some Phase Zero stuff out there, and I would wear it. What else we got? Magneto alive, Bastion's hostage, basically. Jamie called that one. Curious what's going to happen there. I really don't know. I think Xavier is going to come back now and be like, what the hell's going on? And Magneto is going to be a hostage and they're obviously going to have to try to save him, but he's got his little collar on that he can't use his powers. So, and I think Bastion was just kind of bragging about it, using that little metal knife, shaving his face like, ha, look at this. You like, I was, damn, this guy's evil. This guy's evil.
I just realized he's the one supplying the soldiers in episode 1.
Oh, Bastion.
They had all the weird future Sentinel tech and those collars. Oh my gosh. Good stuff.
Good call. It's a good call. So that's the cliffhanger. Magneto's alive. He's a hostage. Storm, not in the episode. So who do we think reunites with the X-Men first? Storm or Professor X?
I don't know.
I think
they both give the energy of like the super nanny clip of like, you guys are in a crisis, I'm on my way. So it's like whether it's either of them first, I feel like, I don't know. Like Charles will just be my guess, just shooting from the hip.
I'm with you. I think Storm is going to have like a Thor and Wakanda type reentry to the squad. Like she'll probably be out for the next week's episode maybe. And then maybe in the finale or the one before that, she just shows up and strikes lightning down and is like, I'm here to save everybody. And it's going to be badass. It's kind of what I hope happens. But I think that that's kind of what's going to happen. And it'll be a big emotional moment for the characters who are like, she was leaving. We might not see her again. Like Jean will be thrilled to see her. So especially if it's mid-battle, it'd be great. It'd be great stuff. There's with Avengers references here. I'm just going to toss this out there. Shout out to Heavy Spoilers for the idea. And also thanks to Heavy Spoilers for shouting out Phase Zero on your episode today. We love you, brother. Paul, you're the best. There's Captain America shows up. Ross is in there. Stark Industries is seen on a building. Hammer Tech is seen on a building. There's clearly loads of Avengers references and an appearance. Could all this X-Men 97 stuff lead to Avengers vs. X-Men in animated form? I would watch. I'd watch that stuff. I don't know how it would work. It's really far off.
If that were to happen, I'm thinking season 4.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't think we're anywhere near that.
I mean, yeah.
It's easy for you to say. She didn't throw your shield.
Yeah,
I'd be ready to fight. Like, why'd you do that? You yeeted my basketball over the freaking fence.
It was really funny.
Exactly. Absolutely.
I just love picturing him just like walking through the snow trying to find him. It's going to take him like half a day. I loved that so much.
Oh, man.
Rogue DGAF now.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. All right. Real quick, out of 10, Aaron, you're at the top of the screen. What'd you think of today's episode of X-Men 97?
I get out of 9 because I think we're in for some real, real wildness the last 3. So I need to save that 10 for that. But like, great pacing, good callbacks. We love a character study of Rogue. I like was really, really moved by Kurt's little eulogy as well. That's a little subtle piece of characterization for him as well. So yeah, they're operating all cylinders. Can't wait to see more.
Jamie, where you at?
I really need to watch this episode again. So this is just my placeholder number for now. I'm going to say 9.3.
Ooh, solid, solid. Jenna, what you thinking?
I'm in the same boat as Aaron. I'm going to give it a 9. I think it might not necessarily be my favorite out of the whole season, but I think it accomplishes so much and has so many great moments. I also need to bring up, I love Scott making the joke about optics when he's talking with the president, because just with the optic blast, that got a good chuckle out of me. But yeah, I think a 9 is where I'm at comfortably.
I'm also with Aaron and Jenna. I got to go 9 here. I think it's a really good episode, but one of you guys last week or the week before pointed out how like, well, you got to kind of think about what more they could still do and reserve those numbers. So out of the 4 of us, we're at a 9.07. That's a 9.1 out of 10 for today's episode. That's the official Phase Zero score. If you guys want to talk more about this, we are out of time today, so we got to wrap it up. But hit us up on social media. Join the Phase Zero community on Twitter. I'm really thinking about starting like a Facebook group for Phase Zero. I think that that's a really interesting place to have comment sections and engagement for Phase Zero. I don't know what the process will be. Who knows how that goes, but I'm trying to find more places for people to interact because Twitter stinks now. So we'll see what happens if we can find more places. I know everybody says Discord. I don't know Discord. So maybe one day, but it won't be me setting up the Discord. Jenna, any last words for today's show?
It's at Hey, it's Jenna Lynn on social media. And as always, go read some comics.
Aaron Perrine.
It's at Summerlake Cornered on Twitter. I would like to take a second to shout out supervising art director Ray Chan, who worked at Marvel Studios, has sadly passed away. They announced it during the middle of the show. He helped craft a lot of the fun stuff we get to talk about every week. So thank you so much for your hard work, and we're thinking about you.
Good call, Aaron. Jamie Jurak.
At Jamie Jurak on Letterboxd and Instagram. I'm really sad I'm missing the Logan episode on Monday because I will be back home in Florida. So when we have homework, I love to do extra credit when it's movie related. And I watched Shane, and I really, from the 50s, Western from the 50s, I really recommend watching that because it is a huge part of Logan. So if you're like me and like extra credit, watch Shane before the Logan episode on Monday.
All right, y'all, that's our show. Logan will be Monday's Phase Zero Road to Deadpool and Wolverine review. If you happen to be in the East Tennessee or the area and you like pro wrestling, NWA has a show, and you never know who might show up. And by that, I mean I'll be there. I'll be on the card. Come hang out. Come have a good time. Watch me beat somebody up. And play our show for your mom. Play it for your dog. Subscribe to the channel. And we will see you on Monday. All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging with us. Have a good weekend.